and welcome everybody. I'm Richard from Veg Grower Podcast, and today is the 9th of April 2018. This is episode 163 and it is titled How I Grow Rhubarb. So coming up today, I've got the diary where I will be talking about what's been happening over this last week, including the Bald Explorer live show, which was great laugh. I've got a couple of clips for you from that show as well, which should be a lot of fun. And then I will have the calendar and what that recommends to do for the next week. And then I'm going to follow that on with how I grow rhubarb. So that means there's a lot to get through. So let's get on with it. Well, in the evenings last week, it was just general care, watering the seedlings, the greenhouse and everything else. But Wednesday night, of course, I had the live show with the Bald Explorer, which was a real laugh. The plan was to talk about growing food and everything we do here at the Veg Grower Podcast. It was in the days before the show, we were chatting and trying to get a plan for the show. And Richard kind of said he thought about getting some vegetables that he could eat live on the show. So I said, well, why don't I just take you some of my homegrown stuff? And then we thought, well, if we're doing that, let's cook live on the show. So I had to search the web for a recipe that would use the things I had ready. And these was things like eggs, sorrel, rocket. So I found a wild green Greek omelette recipe, which fitted the bill exactly. So that was the plan. But if you watch the show, you will see that we had the wrong plan and not everything quite went to plan. Anyway, I've got a few clips, so I'm going to pop those up now and then we'll come back and continue.
Only growing vegetables. You know, you're not growing trees and flowers and like a garden.
Yes.
And you haven't got, you know, a swimming pool and all those, a patio and all of that.
Hot tub and...
Yeah, hot tub. That would be quite fun, wouldn't it? Sitting in your hot tub. Sending out orders to somebody to say, can you pass over the celery and pull out some more fresh radishes, that sort of thing.
Yeah. That sounds like a great idea,
actually.
Sounds
like a great idea, yeah, there we go. But then you'll get all the... You can imagine that, can't you, on an allotment. You'll get all the muddy allotment keepers. What do you call a gaggle of allotment keepers?
Allotmenteers.
Allotmenteers, is that their proper name?
Yes, yeah.
The allotmenteers all joining you in that hot tub. Could be quite kinky. Anyway, fill your boots, love, fill your boots. This is all that Richard has grown in his allotment now. And he's growing them now. This is the great thing, because you go outside and you think, what could possibly grow in this weather? So there we go. This is rocket. Let's just hold that up a bit closer so you can see that. And it looks great, doesn't it? It looks... can I just sample a bit of that?
Yeah, please do. Please do.
Because I love rocket, because it's a peppery... It's a peppery flavour. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's nice.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's totally different to the stuff you get
by the
shop.
It is totally different. Why is that?
One, it's fresh. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's literally 2 hours it's been cut.
That's so... And it's not so harsh either. I mean, it's peppery and it's got a sharp bite, but it's not as... well, I mean, it's just nicer.
Yeah.
It's so difficult to put that into words, ladies and gentlemen. So difficult. So tricky. No, that's gorgeous. I was tempted to have more, but we're going to add some. Oh, I will have another bit. Go on.
Of course, supermarkets is also a variety used to sit on the shelves for a long time.
Oh, yes, of course. But so, on. Matches is on. Oh, we do have...
We have heat.
We have heat. It's always a bit dangerous, this. Right, so, there was a little knife. Oh, here's a knife. There we are. I've got the knife around here. So, a knob of butter.
Knob of butter.
Okay. Now, this is quite precarious because... this is quite warm. I'm going to turn that. I don't know which way down is. There we go. So you're chopping up the stuff.
Chopping up.
There's the
leaves.
Wooden spoon, ladies and gentlemen. Oh yeah, there we go. Now, so we decided we'd do this on this little stove so that we don't have to go into the kitchen, and anybody can make a wild green Greek omelette. Why Greek? Is it because it's the quail's eggs? The ingredients that you're putting in?
It was a Rick Stein recipe I discovered while trying to find something we could do in one pan for tonight.
Yeah, I did put the onus on you to come up with a solution, didn't I?
It was quite fun. It was quite fun. So I've just kind of adapted it.
Right.
For tonight.
Okay, well, here we go. You can see in the pan here, we set up the second camera so you can... I'm doing this by looking at the monitor and I can't find... can't find the knob. There he is. I'm sorry. That sounded a bit naughty. Right, so that's all set.
Chopped up these. Bung those in there.
So the greens are in there.
It's quite a bit, isn't it? It's like that.
But, well, maybe sometimes. You don't.
Well,
I've...
that makes more of a scrambled, I find.
Oh, yes, of course. Sorry. I was thinking scrambled. So, yeah, so we just leave... Oh, I should have brought a saucepan. I mean, a frying pan.
Oh, well. Oh, well.
That's what I... You said omelette, and I feel such a prune. Will it work in there?
One way to find out.
It might be a sort of kedgeree. Is it kind of a kedgeree that's mixed up? Well, we'll see what happens, ladies and gentlemen. This is live, of course. That's why I should have brought a frying pan out. Anyway, it'll be. That's why I've got. We've got some toast. I kept thinking. Yeah, you. Yes, here we go. This is what it now looks like. It's getting a bit. It's going to be scrambled.
We've changed it from an omelette to a. Mix of scrambled.
But that's the nature of the beast, isn't it, really?
It would taste the same.
I'm sure it's delicious, apart from the burnt bits on the edge. But never mind about those. So this is new, isn't it? It's new for me.
New for me. I've never cooked live.
Marvellous. Well, there we are.
I think we're about there.
We're about there? Okay. Yeah. So we've got a bit of toast. I don't know why I had this mental picture that it was going to be scrambled. And you did say omelette, but anyway, let's give it a whirl. We're going to bung it on a bit of toast to try it, and because I haven't got a fork or anything. We're locked in the studio, ladies and gentlemen. The studio manager, the floor manager, has locked us in, says you're not coming out until you finish the show, which will be shortly because we've probably run over time a little bit. Yeah, we're 4 minutes over now, but... It's quite a lot, isn't it?
It's quite a lot.
We might have to use fingers for this. Here we are. Look, I must just show you. Here we go. Look at that. It looks lovely, doesn't it? It looks lovely. Steaming, beautiful. Show you on the above picture. There it is there. Terrific. So, Richard, I'll tell you what we'll do. Yeah, no, that can stay there. It's going to be difficult. We might just...
Shall I hold it and you...
I'll have a sample.
You have a sample.
I'm going to grab a bit of bread like this. I'm going to... I'll just stand up and cut this. We did cook the toast before the show, which was an hour ago, so... So here we are, ladies and gentlemen. It's still steaming. It looks lovely. It smells delicious. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. And the flavours of the flavours of all the leaves and stuff. Oh, definitely. That's delicious.
Try this bit here.
Mm. Oh, you get the rocket and the spinach and whatever that perpetual motion plant was.
Charred
and stuff. And it is a bit charred around the edges as well. That's all part of it, of course.
Mm.
How delicious is that?
And the lemony from the sorrel. Did you get any of that?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Richard, well done, sir.
Thank you.
Well done.
It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. That is delicious. Well, we can have a feast on that. And I already am. Before we go, let's just see what you're saying.
So there we go, everyone. That is... how the show went. A few clips from the show anyway. It was a lot of laughs. Really great crowd there. I know some of you guys were watching, which I'm really pleased about. And there was a great number of you guys from his group that were watching and taking part. Really, really enjoyable experience. They seemed to really enjoy themselves as well. And interested. So we're hoping we'll get more gardeners out of that. And more people joining us on this show. I do plan to do more with the Board Explorer. So more on that as we go through. When I'll let you know when I'm going to be on this show again, like last time. So really good fun. Anyway, thank you everyone that did participate. If you didn't watch the show, I've got the audio, so I can actually do a whole podcast on it if it was required. I can easily edit out the bits that don't make sense, but you know. If you want to watch the video, there is we've got I'll add a link into the blog post for this show for a page or blog I put out last week that includes that video. A lot of laughs, really good fun. So Saturday, back on with the diary now. Anyway, Saturday I headed down to the allotment, and my first job was to spread some manure onto the bed, and this manure I then covered with compost. Now the compost actually came from the compost bin at the very top of my allotment, which I didn't fill. Well, I filled some of it, but it was mostly filled by my previous tenants, so it's had a good couple of years to rot down, and it was a beautifully crumbly compost. But into this area I've planted some cauliflowers that I sown a few months ago and really needed to get out. So they're finally out. They should give me a good few cauliflowers for the summer. There's a good 10 cauliflowers, so that's more than enough for us. After this, I ran the hoe through a few beds, just trying to keep on top of the weeding and keeping things tidy and what have you. So it should look pretty good once it's done. I wanted to do the whole top where it's pretty weedy and full of couch grass at the moment, but I ended up only really being able to clear the rhubarb I had growing there. And it's about 2 meters by a meter area I cleared of weeds. Now, I know this is going to be a pretty difficult job to do, but I will carry on and do it. But I've cleared that area. I could see where the rhubarb were, and that started growing. And I've then mulched this rhubarb with plenty of compost. Now, this isn't the rhubarb I planted again. This is what my previous tenants had planted. So the rhubarb I planted on halfway down is growing beautifully. And after that, I headed home and was done for the day. Sunday morning, I headed into my potting shed first thing. And my first job was just to pot on a few seedlings. And the seedlings are really taking over. I've got lots of them. In fact, tomorrow's YouTube video will show you all my seedlings and how they're getting along. But there's lots of them, they're taking over. I'm thinking some can go into the greenhouse this weekend, but we'll see how they get along. But with the seedlings potted on, I then moved some of my seedlings around from propagator to propagator so I can free up space in the first propagator. And this was so I could sow some seeds, which I did next. Now, I did actually sow quite a few seeds, and the seed sowing is really top priority at the moment. There's lots that need doing, and I've got lots more that I need to do this weekend. But what I did sow this week was some more sweet corn, a variety called Swift F1, two types of pumpkin, Big Macs and Atlantic Giant, cucumber, a variety called Market Moor, courgette, a variety called Romanesco. So they're sown into seed compost, into the propagator, and we'll carry on growing them. I then headed into my greenhouse and I moved out my onion seedlings. I moved them into the cold frame so I can start hardening off, and they're actually looking really good. These were sown, of course, on Boxing Day, so they can go out pretty soon, I expect. Within the next couple of weeks, they'll be in the ground. But they are doing really well, and I'm really pleased with them. While I was in the greenhouse, I noticed a few days before, but the potatoes, they've started to grow, and actually they're growing at quite a rapid rate. Now, of course, these are the home guard potatoes that I grow in the greenhouse, just a bucket full. But they are growing at quite a rapid rate, and they will soon need more compost, so I'll be doing that soon. But I decided to spend a few minutes sorting out my wormery. What I had to do was the liquid at the very bottom that needed draining off, and the liquid itself is a really great plant feed, but it does contain a lot of solid matter. So I pour it through a sieve, and the sieved out solid matter I actually put into the potato buckets and a few around the greenhouse, and that just give it a really good feed as well as extra compost. Now, I do love the wormery. I've mentioned before how great it is. It really eats a lot of our waste. And it takes up very little space and needs very little work. But the biggest problem is this solid matter that you get inside it. Now, just outside my greenhouse, I do have a couple of rhubarb plants, and they are growing really, really well. But I did notice that one of them was throwing up a flower head. Now, with weather we've had, it's not really a surprise, and it's also an early variety. But I do remember this happening this time last year. Now, it's not a huge problem for me, because I'll just cut off the flower stem when I get round to it. But I'm going to come back to that a bit later on when I discuss rhubarb. But that is the diary taken care of now. So many little jobs going on at the moment that I seem to be all over the place. But nonetheless, that is the joy of growing your own. So let's take a look at what the diary recommends to do for this next week. Not diary, the calendar, sorry. Most plants will have made themselves visible by now, and you will see that what you have lost during the winter. Fill empty gaps with annuals or bedding plants. Support tall delphiniums at the back of the borders with bamboo canes, and use twiggy pea sticks for clumps of weak-stemmed plants. I don't have a huge amount to add to that, so I'm going to crack on with how I grow rhubarb. Now, I personally find rhubarb to be an unsung hero of a vegetable garden. One plant will easily give us plenty of food from May to August and will last many, many years with very little work. Rhubarb is a vegetable, not a fruit, just like tomato is a fruit, not a vegetable. Anyway, the earliest recording of rhubarb is from 27,000 BC, where in China it was used as a drug to cure many ailments. It's kind of thought to originate from the China suburban border. Now, Marco Polo is credited with bringing this drug to Europe sometime in the 13th century, where it was called racoma root. Now, over the centuries, there was attempts to get rhubarb growing in Britain, but it struggled, and it was mainly grown for its medicinal use. In fact, in 1657, it was more expensive than opium, again because of its drug use. It did go out of fashion for a bit, but in the 18th century, it started appearing as recipes as a way to get the medicinal benefits into the body. And it really gained favour with the public in 1817 when the Chelsea Physic Garden developed forcin to get a sweeter taste. And forcin is where you basically cover the plants with something so they don't get any light, and they grow some very sweet pink long stems. There are terracotta pots that are used to do this, or an upturned bin can be good for this. Personally, I've never done this, so I might try one year, I don't know. But this first, when it was first discovered, it was an accidental discovery where the stems just got covered in soil, and it turned out for the better. In 1877, the forcing of rhubarb in Yorkshire began in large scale, which caused significant damage to the growers in London. And this was kind of the beginning of the start of the rhubarb triangle, which is located in the shadow of the Pennines, a frost pocket. And this rhubarb triangle is now the centre of the world's rhubarb production. Now, because rhubarb originates from the Chelsea-Siberia border, it does like a cool temperature, which is probably why it does really well in the UK. Rhubarb can be grown from seed, but I've never really bothered. I've either bought crowns or pot-grown plants, both which will be a year old, whereas grown from seed, it can take a couple of years to produce a decent crop. Now, I plant the crowns in late autumn, so they establish over winter, while the ground has plenty of moisture in it, and the plant itself is dormant, and it can just send those roots out to grow strongly. Pot-grown plants I've planted at any time of the year, but as long as the ground isn't frozen and you can get them in the soil, they just need, if it's summer, they're going to need a lot of water to get established, which is why I prefer autumn, because they can get going just before the cold sets in, but there's plenty of moisture to really establish them, just naturally found. Positioning. Now, they do like a nice, well-drained soil with plenty of light, but they do tolerate partial shade. And once they're planted and established, they need very little care, I find, just plenty of watering, a good mulch of manure and compost when the plants have died back, and in spring, a good feed of chicken manure, about a handful per plant, and possibly again every couple of months. But they will thrive on that really, really happily. It is recommended to split the crowns after about 5 years into three, to rejuvenate the plant. The inner crown, which is meant to be woodier, is thrown away, but the outer pieces can be replanted to grow again. That being said, I've never had to do it. I've never done it. And in fact, when I lived with my parents, we had a rhubarb plant that was planted by the previous resident. We'd never done it with that. My stepdad kind of wasn't really into it, and he would just run it over with a lawnmower kind of thing. It's how little we cared about it then. Well, that plant is still growing now and still produces, and it's probably 30 years old. Just shows they last a long time. Now, I tend to harvest the stems when they are red all the way along. The recommendation is not to harvest when there is an R in a month. However, with early varieties, they can be harvested late March, April. And I will be harvesting mine at the, well, this weekend, some of mine. I'm looking forward to it. I tend to stop harvesting it in August, so it's got a bit of time for the leaves to soak up enough sun and photosynthesize enough energy into the roots to get through the winter. Now, of course, the stems are great for many recipes. The good old-fashioned rhubarb crumble, which everyone loves. Last year I made rhubarb wine, which was very popular but also very strong. And rhubarb jam I've made with it as well. Really tasty and a great use for it. Now, rhubarb is very tart on its own, so it needs plenty of sugar to kind of sweeten it and make it palatable, I guess. But I quite like it on its own, to be honest. I've roasted them in the oven with a bit of honey and ginger, and that's quite nice as well. Now, rhubarb is actually fairly problem-free. The only real problem I get is it may throw up a flower stem, which I just cut off. And rhubarb tends to produce a flower stem when it's under stress. So, like at the moment, because weather's so changeable, we've had some nice sunshine and wet rain, and it's been cold and warm and what have you. It's kind of made it do that. But it could also be to incorrect watering, lack of nutrients. But again, it's not a huge problem. And the flower stem I just cut off and keep an eye on the plant, but that's it. And the flower stem is actually quite nice in a pot if you're into your cut flowers, of course. Now, rhubarb does contain oxalic acid, which is why the leaves are considered poisonous. It is okay to compost the leaves, not a problem at all. I find the poisonous thing to be, I'm not saying it's not true, but it's a bit of a red herring, because you have to eat so much of it that you'll burst before it causes a problem. That being said, it does contain the acid. So I'm no scientist, I'm no health physician, but it is poisonous. As for varieties, now I've got Early Timperley, which is great for a really early variety, Victoria, which is really good flavour, and Glaskin's Perpetual, which gives a really long-lasting harvest. There are many others, but that's the three that I really like. So, if you grow rhubarb, please let me know how you grow it, and if you've got any recipes you have to share, I would love to know them. I'm going to wrap up now. Time's getting on, and this has probably been quite a long podcast. So, until next time, please take care, and I will see you all again next time.